Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, the Congressional Charity Baseball game went off last night in Washington, D.C. without incident. Close to the practice site of this week's attack on Republican members of Congress by a Trump-hating Bernie Sanders supporter. We're glad that it went off well. Yet the divisiveness and the hatred for the president by the left has not stopped, nor will it until we reacquaint ourselves with the right understanding of God, who he is, and what he expects, as did our founders. And as we've been saying all week, we have two choices based on all of this violence and action that we're seeing. We are either going to run to freedom in God, or we'll yield our freedom to the iron fist of government that wants to be God. There really is no other choice. And when comments from the political types and others from around the nation say that we're at a point of civil war, or our nation is a tinder box or pot ready to boil over, or any number of these things, the idea is really the same. We've got to turn the corner and turn it soon. So today we're going to discuss the theme of the historical answer to troubled times. I believe you'll be greatly encouraged as we look back historically and seek to give a foundational look at why our founders started with God and why we must also. And with that, I welcome you to the Friday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'm going to be joined again today by Gary Dahl and Dave Kistler. But before we jump into our major theme today, I want to mention one major decision that occurred yesterday in Oregon, and one that's also being considered in California legislature and other places. And it helps to set the stage for our discussion today of why we need to reacquaint ourselves with God. Now, I'm going to read to you from this article, The Oregonian, Oregon Live. Quote, yesterday in Oregon, now quote, Oregon became the first U.S. state to allow residents to identify as, get this, quote, non-binary, end quote, meaning neither male nor female, on their driver's licenses and identification cards. That happened on Thursday in a decision by the Oregon Transportation Commission. Now, let me just read just a little bit more from that. Beginning July 1st, Oregonians will be able to choose, quote, X, like X for your name, will be able to choose X for sex instead of female, F, or male, M, on their licenses and identification cards. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Dave, let me go to you first here. I've known that this idea has been floating around some for some time, but now it's the law in the state of Oregon. Neither male nor female, just an X. And in this article, there's a picture, and you guys, I think, have it. There's a picture of what is clearly a man, but with very developed woman's breasts, standing in a feminine way with the beautiful mountains of Oregon behind him. Or no, I shouldn't say him. It, because I'm not quite sure. To me, frankly, Dave, I recoil and frankly am sickened when I see such a thing. And I'm going to ask you, you're free to comment on what you think about this, but I specifically want you to comment on how God thinks about such a thing. Neither male nor female, just an X if you want to be.
Well, Sam, I'm wondering this, if according to the Oregon Transportation Department, if you can decide what you are, if it's neither male nor female, but X, could I decide that I want to be LeBron James and I'm 6 feet, 8 inches tall, 240 pounds rather than 5'11", 180? And can I get the requisite compensation that LeBron James gets if I perceive myself to be him? I mean, can I do that? Could that be placed on my driver's license? Or even better, since this is a transportation card, could I choose to be an automobile, perceive myself to be an automobile? Would they give me $30 for a fill up and a coupon for an oil change? I mean, if I perceive myself to be an automobile, and of course, I hope I'm illustrating the absurdity here. Here's the bottom line, Sam. Genesis 5:2 says God created them in the beginning, male and female. And listen to the next phrase, and blessed them. It is the male and female that God blessed. And there can be no more defiant move against the God of heaven and his intent for human relationships than this type of thing that we're seeing displayed by the Oregon Transportation Department.
David, bottom line, you're saying it's an affront to the God of heaven.
It is, Sam. It's the consummate affront. This goes back to the very beginning of creation, male and female. This is an attempt to pull that down.
Gary, let me go to you, because the viewpoint, we know this by all the surveys, the majority of the people in the country would approach this as the new reality and say, well, oh, well, whatever floats your boat. The younger generations in particular may not, we know, they may not choose to become a non-binary or to become an X in this case, neither male nor female, but neither do they believe they have any right to expect that others don't choose to reject the God-designed distinctions of male and female and become an X. I want you to comment on one point on this, because in this article, Gary, it goes on to say, quote, transgender and intersex Oregonians say the change validates their identities, makes them safer as they hand over their licenses at restaurants, health clinics, and airports. Oregon Department of Motor Vehicles officials say they received little opposition to the change when they first announced plans to carry this out last summer. 83 comments, written and oral, only 12 people opposed the change. Only 12 people opposed this change. My question to you, Gary, is this. What does God think about people who say they know the truth? Because obviously more than 12 people had to have known about this. What do people say about people who say they know the truth and trust in God, but don't feel any obligation to speak up about the truth, about what God says?
Well, quickly, Sam, in your introduction there, you referred to Jamie Shoup as an it, and I kind of think that that is both biblically and practically correct. If you do not want to be a male or female, you are an it. And I'm being serious about that, because this whole thing is absurd. And I have no idea what makes a person safer when they hand over their license at restaurants, health clinics, and so forth and so on, if they are non-binary. It just doesn't make any sense. But in answering your question, what does God think about people who say they know the truth and don't talk about it? Well, that's a sin. Jude 3 tells us that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The fact of the matter is, Sam, the fact that only 12 people spoke in opposition to this is really sick. This should be something that all people, Christians and non-Christians alike, should speak against. But the fact of the matter is, we've allowed the truth to be followed in the streets, and that's a shame.
It is a shame. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an example of what's taking place. Put this in context with the violence and the shootings, and we have a problem. We have a problem. But what do we do for a solution? When we come back in segment two, we're going to hearken back into some history. We'll look at our founders and what they actually did as they laid out as a God-designed foundational plan for America. But in reality, it's a foundational plan for an individual or for families and also for a nation. We're going to talk about these throughout the program.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press materials place great value on the knowledge of God and His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Our general theme for the program today is the historical answer to our troubled times. And specifically in this segment, we're going to talk about what our founders identified, God-designed foundational principles for America. We've been saying all week, ladies and gentlemen, on this program, that in response to the increase in violence and hatred we're seeing across the country, that as a nation, we really do have but two options. We either run to God, or we're going to run into the arms of an iron-fisted government. The haters of God, the workers of unrighteousness, as the Bible describes, are hard set to lie, deceive, threaten, intimidate, and all with the goal of dividing us as a nation and dividing us along as many lines as possible. Politics, the personality of President Trump, immigration, borders, race, religion, and all of these to weaken our commitment to God, to the Bible, to Jesus Christ, to our Judeo-Christian heritage, and our Constitution. Ultimately, the choice does come down to this. Is there absolute truth or not? Are there any unchanging and fixed moral standards of right and wrong or not? And answering these questions will determine our response of whether or not we're going to run to God or we're going to yield to government. But failing to consciously choose and answer these questions will result in a choice. And that choice will be to yield to government and to run from God. Gentlemen, we discuss biblical solutions to today's program or problems on this program. That's what Stand in the Gap Today is all about. We emphasize a biblical worldview, the authority of Scripture, and that the Bible, as absolute truth, does hold all the answers we need to answer all of the challenges that face us today. But we also know that 92% of the pews, those in the pews of our churches today, are begging for their pastors to preach and teach biblical principles and applying them to these issues of the day, but only 9% will do it. That's a problem. So in part, ladies and gentlemen, Stand in the Gap Today is seeking to help to demonstrate what the application of a biblical worldview looks like on this large national radio pulpit, more or less, that is called Stand in the Gap Today, that's reaching all 50 states and around the world, and over 450 stations. And we feel a need, all of you are listening today, that for you who may be in churches where you want biblical principles applied and it's not being done, or if you happen to be in a church that is doing it, that this program will help to demonstrate what it's like for preachers. All of us in this program are preachers to apply biblical principles to these issues. Now, with that said, Gary and Dave,
that's me.
Let me go. Yeah, I know that's you. Let's go right into this. Our founders did embrace a set of essential biblical principles. They laid down a foundation for our nation, for our families, for individuals. The pulpits preached them, and they were incorporated into our Declaration of Independence. William Penn in Pennsylvania actually did the best job of pulling these together. I've taken them out and put them down into 10 essentials. But one thing is clear, they did have it right. I'm going to give quickly these 10 things they said they have to understand. Number one, and we're going to focus on that in this program. First, understand the nature and the role of God. 2. Understand the nature of man. 3. Understand the purpose for government. 4. Understand the purpose for law. 5. Understand the natural tendency of government. Next, understand the components of biblical justice. Next, understand the need for maintaining a republic. Next, understand the need to build in safeguards or checks and balances. Next, understand the need to biblically educate the youth. And then last, understand the need for prayer, as God is the one who actually builds and lays down the foundation. Gary, let me go to you first with this question, an application. Why is it important that the first and most important foundational principle undergirding a nation or a family or an individual starts with understanding the nature and the role of God?
Well, Sam, you know, first of all, let me say that those 10 points in the plan for building a government of integrity are so very important, and those are the things that we need to teach to our governmental officials from the White House down to the local schoolhouse or doghouse, whatever the case may be. Very, very important principles. But as it relates to your question, why is it important that the first and foremost foundational principles start with understanding the nature and the role of God? Well, let me put it this way, Sam. There is no real understanding apart from understanding God. Think about that. There is no real understanding apart from understanding God. When you turn to Romans chapter 1, Romans 1 indicates that when people put God out of their mind, God gives them over to a reprobate mind, which means that they cannot think righteousness. They cannot think righteously. And when you look at verses 30, 31 in that section of Romans chapter 1, you will find that as the result of putting God out of the picture, God says they are without understanding. You see, Sam, God is the foundation of all things. He is the infinite and perfect spirit in whom all things have its source, support, and end, the one who causes, directs, or allows all things to happen. And so when we do not have a fundamental understanding as to who God is, what God expects, and how God operates, then there will be no understanding. And once again, going back to what I said in the last segment, we are throwing truth out in the street. There is no absolute truth when we take God out of the picture.
Excellent, Gary. Dave, let me go to you now. Understanding God involves a number of things about the nature and role of God. For instance, we know that God is God. There is none else. We know that He is a creator and sustainer. He is the creator and sustainer of life. He is supreme authority and judge. He's the architect of the universe that the founders would refer to Him, and many more. Now, Dave, if you were to apply the principle of the necessity of understanding God and His role and apply it to the example that we started with today about Oregon having decided to permit people to declare whether they are male or female, and they can change it to X, whatever, how would this understanding, had those involved in government in Oregon, had they had this understanding of who God was, how would have that affected this law?
Well, Sam, if God is sovereign, which He is, and our founders understood that, if He is the supreme authority over all things, which He is, and our founding fathers understood that, then that means this: any authority I have as a decision maker is delegated to me from God. So in other words, I do not get to implement my ideas, my agenda, what I want, as a delegated person, delegated authority from God to me as a leader in government, or as the father in my home, or as a pastor in the pulpit in the church. I do not state what I want or my opinions or my agenda. I communicate what God wants. So had the people there, the transportation division there in Oregon, understood that God is sovereign and they have been merely delegated the position of authority that they have from God, Sam, they would not have egregiously defied God in the way they made this decision to allow people to choose whatever they want to be. They would have gone according to God's dictates and God's plan.
Gary, let me go back to you now, because Dave took and showed the application of biblical principles We recognize who God was. You said you can't have understanding without understanding God. Gary, you said that. That's very clear. Dave went further and said, all right, if those in government had understood God, they would have understood that they're under authority to God, are not at will to do whatever they want, but they must do what God has established, the authority structure he laid out. Now, but let's take it, Gary, now to the individual. Now the people in Oregon, the citizens, have a choice. They can go in and they can declare, I am no longer male, I am no longer female, I am an X, I'm an it. Gary, apply the knowledge of this principle of understanding the nature and the role of God to an individual, and in this case, what they can or cannot do there relative to the fact that they are male or female.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, when we understand that it is God who made us, and Dave quoted Genesis chapter 5, I go also back to Genesis 1:27, where it says God made them male and female, and that's absolutely true. That is how God made us. And so, you see, there is no choice. We have no choice. We are born male, we are born female, and that's exactly how we are to remain. And so when you understand the truth of God, the only choice is to follow the truth of God and not the truth of humanity, which takes us away from the truth of Almighty God.
Well, gentlemen, really what you've laid out, and I'm going to go over it again. We're talking here the foundational principle. Our founders embraced it. We know it's there. Understand the nature and the role of God. Gary, you said understanding God is necessary for understanding, period, but certainly understanding life, which means as we look at the issues of the day, violence-wise, if we don't understand God, how can we bring understanding and a solution to these problems? Dave, you said if God is understood properly, then those in government or positions of authority will recognize that they have a duty to God's plan to implement and protect what he has laid out, not do what they want. And Gary, you just said the citizen, even though they have government to do unbiblical things, they won't choose to do it because they are also doing what God has laid out. It's very clear, ladies and gentlemen, there's a huge difference. We run to God or we're going to run into the arms of an iron-fisted government. Now, when we come back, we're going to take and look at how this principle of understanding the nature and rule of God was applied by our founders to the Declaration of Independence. Very practical. You'll see it makes all the difference in the world.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, if you're just joining us on Stand in the Gap Today, we appreciate you being with us, and we are encouraging you that if you have not yet visited our website at StandInTheGapRadio.com, that you do so, because you can pick up all of the archives. And on programs like this, where there's a lot of information taking place, you would really probably find it interesting and helpful to listen to it again. And you can do so there. You can give us comments on this and other programs. You can give us questions to answer on future programs. Download our app also if you have not done so. It is free. You can go to your iPhone or your Android, put in the phrase Stand in the Gap or American Pastors Network for Android users, and you can have it at your fingertips and listen to these programs, all three of ours, the Minute, the Weekend, and the Today program, at when it's convenient to you. You can also partner with us financially. If you like what you are hearing, please partner with us financially. Even a few dollars a month would help you to walk alongside of us, because we are a ministry. We are trying to do what God would have us to do and to tell the truth and try to address the issues of the day. Gentlemen, we were talking about that actually the founders had laid down a plan for building a new nation or families. And really, in the first essential principle was understand the nature and the role of God. We talked about that last segment. But I want to now go to application of it, how they actually took that principle and put it into place. I started the program by saying that in this day, in these challenges that face us, we're either going to run to freedom in God, or we're going to yield our freedom to the iron fist of government that wants to become God. Our founders started with God for a reason. They understood the starting point for a new nation was understanding the nature and the role of God, preaching it from the pulpit, and citizens embracing it. Dave, practical application. Let's go to the Declaration of Independence as an example to show how our founders actually took this principle and put it into effect in this first, second, really, organic document of law. If you could, Dave, go just to the first paragraph, read it if you could, and identify the aspect of God that they identified and how they applied it in that first paragraph.
Well, Sam, let me quickly say this. Most people assume that the first paragraph of the Declaration begins with these words, "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal." Technically, that is the second paragraph. The first paragraph to which you are referring reads this way, and Sam, it establishes God's authority from the very get-go. Listen to what it says. "When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth." The word powers there is used in the sense of authorities, governmental authorities of the earth. I continue reading, "the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them." So when our founders were stating the reason, making the case for separation from the mother country of Great Britain, they said, "We are assuming our rightful place among the authorities or the governments of the earth, the just and equal station that the laws of nature and nature's God entitle us." So they are saying from the very beginning, Sam, that we are accountable to God. That is beyond significant, and it should be understood and it should be underscored over and over and over in America that that was what our founders understood, and it is to that that they were appealing. Sam, if we understand this, it changes everything. And as far as how we look at government and our responsibility from a governmental perspective to God himself.
Well, Dave, it does. And as those who were listening to this program a couple of days ago, we had David New on. And David New was talking about the difference between a monarchical form of government in Europe and what was happening here. Here, the people understood that it was nature's God that set up the plan. And Gary will actually talk about it in the next section a little bit. But Dave, they referred here, you called out the sovereignty of God, nature's God, and how he laid it out. But Dave, they also went back and recognized God's sovereign nature in the last few lines of the same document.
They did indeed, Sam. In fact, the concluding statement at the end of the Declaration, after listing all of the usurpations and the grievances that the king had committed against them, they conclude with this statement before signing their names. And really, putting their names on this document was the essence of putting their name on a death warrant. I mean, they were literally putting their lives at stake, and they knew that. Here's what they said: "And for the support of this declaration," in other words, the Declaration of Independence, "with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors." So not only that were they accountable to God, and they received as delegated authority from God to do what they were doing, they understood that God was their protector, their defender, and their sustainer.
And Dave, I'm going to go to Gary just a minute here, but really, you identified the aspect that God is over all. He is sovereign. He controls all. You talked about him being supreme authority. They recognized that, and they appealed to the divine providence, was their name for God, authoritative, sovereign nature, to hear and to answer their request. So everything was under the authority of God. That was all because they understood the nature and the role of God. Now, Gary, I want to go to you right now, because in the second paragraph, which Dave cited, it says it gives another aspect of the character and the nature of God. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Gary, if you could lay out what that aspect that they called out means.
Well, first of all, Sam, you know, when we look at what was brought out here in the Declaration of Independence, we see not only a governmental document, but we see theology in here. And, you know, when you look at that entire second paragraph that you referred to, it really is filled with theology and theological principles. Let me just read some of it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal, that they were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that is, rights that do not come from mankind, they come from God, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government, of the governed, excuse me. But, you know, when you look at that particular statement, it says we hold these truths to be self-evident. Isn't that an apologetic statement? I mean, they understood theology. They understood who God is. They understood where we came from. They understood what government is all about, and they clearly related it right here in the Declaration of Independence. You know, there's been discussion over the past years that maybe what we need is another Declaration of Independence. I'll tell you what, Sam, we don't need another one. We need to follow this one. And if indeed there was another one written, I submit to you, there would not be the theological foundation in a new Declaration of Independence that was in this first one. But, you know, in more specifically answering your question, what we need to understand is that God is the source of all things. When we recognize and apply that principle, then God blesses. When we do not recognize and apply that principle, then God judges. And the reason why God blessed the United States of America is that it was built upon the principle of the fact that God is the source of all things, whether you're talking about the unalienable rights that He's given us or anything else. God is the source of all things. And, you know, I said to my own congregation recently that from the days of Christopher Columbus coming to the New World, right on down through the Pilgrims and the Puritans, and right up to about 1850, we had people in pre-America and then in America recognize the greatness of God. In 1850, when Charles Darwin came on the scene, people began to question God. And from that particular point, the United States of America has gone down morally, it's gone down spiritually, it's gone down emotionally, and it's all because of the fact that God's been put out of the picture, and that therefore brings the judgment of God. Remember that an understanding of who God is, what God expects, and how God functions, and living out that understanding brings God's blessing. Rejecting that understanding brings God's judgment. And that's what I fear we're seeing in America today.
Well, I tell you, Gary and Dave, you really have brought in so much. And ladies and gentlemen, you can sense how what you're hearing here could produce hours of sermons. And in fact, our founding pastors, we would call them, did in fact preach hours of instruction from God's Word, because they understood that these principles, starting with God, who He is, authority, creator, they knew and they understood it as accepted. And they built upon it a framework of government, because the Bible speaks about what government should be. It speaks about what laws should be. This is what's called Judeo-Christian viewpoint. This is what's been incorporated within our Declaration of Independence. And so in every regard, as we said from the beginning, in these days when we have trouble, we're either going to run towards God and reacquaint ourselves with who He is, or we're going to run into the arms of an iron-fisted government who thinks they are God. There is no other choice. It's that serious, ladies and gentlemen. But thankfully, God's Word has all the answers. Now, when we come back in the second last segment here, we're going to take and apply it and say, what difference would it make if understanding God as sovereign and creator would make if those in Washington right now understood these principles?
Hello, this is Sam Rohr.
Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, generally speaking on the program, we try to take the last segment and turn it into more or less a solution segment. But in reality, most all of this program today has been a giant solution segment. You know, it's one thing to identify problems. I've been listening to other programs today. You all listen to other things. There's not a shortage of people identifying the fact that we have a problem. That's easy. That's easy to do. Anybody can say we got a problem because it's obvious. What's not so obvious is to find the solution that works. And when we, in fact, as a nation, have departed from a biblical worldview, a Judeo-Christian worldview that we're discussing here today, that our founders had built right in, that they knew, that was obvious, they said, self-evident in the first lines of the Declaration. To them was self-evident. To us, it's hardly seen. Most people don't even know that. But when that was accepted and when that was known, they had the ability to find the answers to the problems when they came up because they understood who God was. And Gary, as you said, then they had understanding. Gentlemen, I think where we are today, and think of the book of Romans, where those who had a knowledge of God, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We have a lot of smart people today who have degrees behind their name, but they don't have any wisdom because they've thrown God out. As Gary, you said right on, without understanding God, you have no understanding. I'd like to take in the next few minutes on the program to take a look and say, what would it like? What would we be seeing today if, in fact, our leaders in Washington and our leaders in the pulpits of America actually understood the nature and the role of God? Faced with the problems that we have today, what they would be doing as a response. Dave, let me start with you first. If, in fact, we had people who trusted in God, or coins saying God we trust, but I don't think we do, and they understood God as sovereign, God as top authority, as you laid out, what would we be seeing differently today as statements as to what the people should do or what Congress would be doing today in addressing these issues that confront us if they truly understood God and His nature?
Well, Sam, that's a pretty broad question. Let me just kind of try to bring it down to what we've been watching even within the last 48 hours plus. We're a country plagued with violence and incredible division. And yet, if our founders' vision for America were to be lived out and implemented, which is a thorough understanding of God as sovereign, then we would be seeking God's word for the answer. Our national leaders would be going to God's word to find the answer. And with respect to just the rhetoric that's being used today, they would find Ephesians 4:29, which simply says this: let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So it would temper the kind of language that our politicians use with respect to each other. And gentlemen, I know you've noted it, as have I, that there is an increasingly crass nature. There are words, four-letter expletives, that years ago, decades ago, would have never been tolerated. In fact, our politicians would never have dreamed of using those terms. But now they're not just caught on hot mic moments. They're just said in television interviews. All of that would be tempered. What they call each other would be tempered by the word of God. Beyond that, gentlemen, with respect to the violence that is taking place in our country, principles would be derived from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. I'm thinking of passages in Numbers and Exodus where it talks about if certain violent crimes are committed, here is the punishment according to God's word for that. If all of that were implemented, gentlemen, we would have a distinctly different country right now, and we can have a distinctly different country in the future if God's word, God's truth, and acknowledgement of him as sovereign will once again be implemented.
Dave, you said, I'm going to repeat real quick and I'm going to go to Gary. You said effectively the response difference would be that those in authority would be seeking God right now and direction from God's word. They would be tempering their speech, tempering their crass language, would be wholly different in trying to what they're doing to do. And in fact, we would see a different application of what is justice. And frankly, I want to put in there, if we would have been doing this, we wouldn't be seeing the violence in the street today. It wouldn't
Agreed.
Even be happening. Gary, let me go to you. Same question, but applying it to the aspect of God as creator, giver of life, bestower of rights. If that were understood, that aspect of who God is, what would we be seeing different today?
Well, you're talking about having a right response to who God is and how God operates. Well, you know, the right response to all of this is based upon biblical authority. It's based upon the biblical worldview, which is, as I have said many times, what does the Bible say? Looking at everything through the eyes of the Scripture. And when we, as a society, would have the right response to God, who's the giver of life, the bestower of rights, and so forth, if we would have that right response from the biblical perspective, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, Sam, that we would see a turning to righteousness through repentance and the establishment of godly principles and practice with boldness and with great courage. And I think that we would see that in the form of a national revival.
Gary, I think we would as well. And certainly one I could think of, if we really believed that God was creator, then we'd have to believe that there's value in life. And there's value in other people's lives. It would help to temper, as Dave said, our speech, because everyone else is made an image of God. There are a lot of things, man. The more we think about it, and we were to just open this discussion up and just talk about it, we would find the application to be very, very broad. If we really understood that God was sovereign, we have to answer to him, he's all authority. If we believe that he really was creator, and the rights that each of us have came from him, not government. I submit to you that right now there are those in government that are attempting to take away and think about how they can take away the rights that we have and give it to government, because they're not thinking about who God is. They're thinking about how government can respond. All of that ties in, ladies and gentlemen, very clearly to this very foundational principle that starts the foundation. Have to understand who God is and his role. Dave, we're getting close to the end of the program here. It's on a Friday. Can I go to you and ask you to close us in prayer today? Pull these things together for us. A lot of places you can go, but take us to God's throne of grace if you could.
Be delighted to, Sam. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing the medium of radio to communicate your truth. Father, we thank you that our founders understood the things about which we have had an in-depth discussion today. And Father, I pray once again, in the midst of division and controversy and violence that is rising in our nation, Father, may those that lead our country, the pulpits of America and the politicians of America, may we acknowledge that, Lord, you are sovereign. You are the creator. You are our sustainer. You are the one that birthed this nation. And Father, I pray there would be a radical and deliberate turn back to you. And rather than running into, as Sam has alluded to many times on the program today, the iron-fisted hand of government, may we run into the wide-open, loving arms of you, God, knowing that you have the answers, and those answers are found in your holy word. May this be our response, is my prayer. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Gary and Dave, thank you. Great discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, again, go to standinthegapradio.com or download our app, Stand in the Gap, and listen to this program again. There is so much contained in just this foundational principle of who God is. That's where we have to go. Let's pray that that happens. If you know the truth, stand for it today. If you know the Lord, stand for him. Until then, we'll see you back on Monday.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.